and just sing to the one true God and worship him. So let's do that this morning together, shall we? Let's do it. Please stand and join us in worship.
Hallelujah, I am free from my sin and penalty. At the cross you took my place, with your grace on top of grace.
Y'all ready?
One, two, three, four. Lord, how you've loved me, I don't deserve. Grace on top of grace. Oh, it's more than I've asked for, more than I've worked. Grace on top of grace. How sweet. How sweet the sound. Once lost, now found. Heaven came down and grace rescued me. Hallelujah, I am free from
and have a seat. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Amen. Good morning and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. It is a joy to be with you this morning, and I pray that this time of worship is a blessing to you. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here. My colleague, Reverend Hammett Evans, will be delivering today's message. We're continuing with our series called Renew, where we are looking at the membership vows that we have taken in the life of the church. Today, Brother Hammett is going to talk about service, what it means to be in service to your church. And this will all culminate next Sunday with our Confirmation Sunday. And we have 7 confirmands this year that will stand up before the church and take their own membership vows and claim their faith as their own. So it's going to be a beautiful morning. Amen. Just a few announcements before we get started. First of all, Vacation Bible School is fast approaching. It'll be June 27th through the 30th. And what we're looking for right now is we're looking for volunteers that want to help be part of this, to help walk with and shape these children. You can scan the QR code, which is there. You can also contact Miss Nicole, and there's a sign-up sheet also right out there on the table. So if you are moved to help with that, we would love to have you be part of that. Today, immediately following this service, well, around noonish in the warehouse, we will have a meeting for any students and parents of students that will be taking the mission trip to Alabama this summer. So you'll want to be in there. We'll go through all the information, especially if you're one of the adults that's brave enough to go with us. You'll want to be there and get that information. So we will see you in the warehouse at noon. And then the last announcement, which is the best announcement. We have a flower right here on the altar, and that can only mean one thing. God has blessed the church by adding to our community. This past Thursday, Charles Robert Hall was born. And it has been, and first of all, he's perfectly and beautifully healthy. And if you are on Facebook, you can see that he is perfectly beautiful as well, a beautiful child. But we're happy to let you know that he is home, and his parents, Chelsea and Nick, are home. And they are, he is already such a blessing to the family and to the church. And we look forward to walking with him and teaching him about Jesus and loving him. So it is in that spirit that we go to God in prayer. Let's do that together. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this beautiful morning. We have so many things to be thankful for the way you love us, for the way you have created us, you sustain us, and you carry us. We come together this morning all in different conditions, with our hearts and minds in different places, in different states. But we are drawn together here this morning for a reason. And God, that reason is to lean into you, to feel your love and grace poured into our lives. And so through the power of the Holy Spirit, God, we ask that you are with us today, that you guide us, that you transform us and change us into the image of Christ that you call us to be. Help us to see that through our burdens and our pain, you love us completely. Give us the peace and comfort that we seek. God, we also know that there are many among us that are hurting. We pray this morning for your healing, for your love, for your transformation in the world. God, we see so much violence going on in our country. We see it around the world. And we know that what we need more than anything is the power of your Spirit to sweep through this world to transform hearts. And we know that as your children and as the carriers of the gospel, we must participate in that to bring that love to those who need it the most. We also know that there are those among our community at Asbury that need your love and your healing and your grace. We pray this morning specifically for Fred Williams and for Barbara Clark. We pray this morning for Clifford Smith and for June Glazier. We pray for Lanny Langley and Joyce Dennis. We pray for Doug Chenault and Patty Shoemaker. We pray for all of those, God, whose names sit at the top of our hearts, the front of our minds, the tips of our tongues. We know that you are at work in all their lives in a mighty way. And so we give you thanks for all that you do as you walk alongside us. And God, this morning, above all else, we give you thanks for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the heavy price he paid on the cross, a price we could not pay ourselves. We thank you for the glory and victory of the resurrection, which frees us from the bonds of sin. We thank you for his earthly ministry, for all he has taught us, is teaching us, and will teach us. We thank you for the power of prayer, the ability to come to you with our burdens and our worries, with our joys and our thankfulness. And we thank you for knowing how to pray. Jesus taught us that with the Lord's Prayer. we will say that together now by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and continue to worship with us.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Yes, we do. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say he is worthy. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Yes, we do. We're singing, Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Lead me in your love, God. Sing worthy. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Yes, we do. Oh, Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say he is worthy. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you, God. We're singing, Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around. Sing, Holy, holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around. Lead me in your love.
our prayer. I will build mine upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken.
Come on, sing it.
I will build my trust upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. God, singing, holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around. I will build my life upon your.
Have a seat. As we prepare for our time of offering, it's always amazing to me when I think about service, how I've been called to participate in the kingdom, even though I'm not worthy. And just like all of us, we have an opportunity to participate in bringing people to know Jesus Christ. And we do that in so many different ways. We do it through our service, whether it's Stone Soup or OMP or the wonderful things we do in the community. It's teaching our children to know and love Jesus and the love that Jesus has for them. And it's also our giving through our resources. Just having that trust, like we talked about last week, leaning into trust that God is going to do amazing things through the gifts that we provide. And so with that, as the ushers bring around the offering plates, know that there are other ways to give, which you can scan that QR code and learn all about that. Please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious, loving God, what a blessed gift it is to be your children. What a blessed gift it is to have our Savior Jesus Christ, who paid the price he paid for every single one of us. You have created each of us with a specific and beautiful gift, and we are called to use that gift in this kingdom-building process that you have set us on and allowed us to be part of. So God, during this time of offering, help us to remember all of the mighty things that you have done for us and the way that you love us. And let this be a show of our love and our trust as we bring people to know the love of you through your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask all this in his beautiful name. Amen.
Some songs just get it. This is a kind of a classic song. But the lyrics, I mean, it could be the longest song ever. Our version here says, in the morning when I rise, when I'm alone, when I'm afraid. It could keep going on. When I'm joyful, when I'm lonely, when I'm unsure, when I'm thankful, when I'm sick, when I'm halfway through a marathon. The whole point of it is to give me Jesus. No matter when. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise,
In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. When I am alone, oh, when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me
talk with me so all the kids can come down. How are y'all? Good? Hi there. How's it going? How are you? I see some Jefferson kids.
Go Patriots.
All right. Okay, I want you to raise your hand if you have ever been called a silly goose before. I should see more hands than this. I know how we are. Well, you know what? I learned some things this week that I want to share with you that I thought was super interesting. And geese are actually not that silly. They're actually pretty smart. And they actually do things that we can learn from. in our church family at Asbury. Okay, so the first thing I learned is how geese fly. Does anyone know how geese fly or what formation they make in the sky when they're flying along? It's a letter. They make a letter. What do you think? They make a V, okay? And the reason they do that is to make it easier for the other geese and not as hard. So the goose that is flying at the front of the V at the point, they have the hardest job because they don't get any help. And everyone else helps each other. But the cool thing is when that goose that's leading gets tired or maybe needs to take a break, what do you think happens? Another goose comes up and takes over. And that reminds me of Asbury, because here, when we have people that are leading or volunteering, we take turns, right? So maybe we take turns teaching Sunday school, or we take turns leading worship. And so that's a big part of a church family. We have to take turns and lead. Okay, and the other thing that I learned about geese that I thought was super interesting is they honk when they are encouraging each other. So have you ever heard geese honking? Yeah, you've heard it? It's pretty loud, right? Well, I want you to, next time you hear it, I want you to think they're encouraging each other, and they're saying, like, keep going, keep going. Do we do that at Asbury? Yeah, we encourage each other to keep going. Okay, I have one more thing that they do. When a goose gets sick or maybe gets tired and can't fly anymore, they land, and two other geese land with that goose to make sure that they're okay. Do we do something like that at Asbury? Maybe if people get sick, or maybe if they're just too tired, they just can't make it, do we help those people? Yeah, that's right. Okay, so I want you to think this morning about all these things we do to serve in our church family, which Asbury does great at all of these things. But do you think we could try to do a little bit more every single day? Yeah, we can try to give and serve a little bit more every single day. The next time you're called a silly goose, you can say, they're not silly, right? All right, let's pray together. Dear Lord, help us to use the gifts that you have given us to serve and encourage others. Thank you for sweet reminders on how we should serve in our church family. We love you. Amen.
Thank you, Nicole. That's a wonderful reminder as you're driving through rush hour traffic in Little Rock that those honks are honks of encouragement that you might hear. That sounds like a bumper sticker, honk for encouragement. Our scripture reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Roman church. Chapter 12, we'll read verses 1 through 11. So, brothers and sisters, because of God's mercies, I encourage you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. This is your appropriate priestly service. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature. Because of the grace that God gave me, I can say to each one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Instead, be reasonable, since God has measured out a portion of faith to each one of you. We have many parts in one body, but the parts don't all have the same function. In the same way, though there are many of us, we are one body in Christ, and individually, we belong to each other. We have different gifts that are consistent with God's grace that has been given to us. If your gift is prophecy, you should prophesy in proportion to your faith. If your gift is service, devote yourself to serving. If your gift is teaching, devote yourself to teaching. If your gift is encouragement, devote yourself to encouraging. The one giving should do it with no strings attached. The leader should lead with passion. The one showing mercy should be cheerful. Love should be shown without pretending. Hate evil and hold on to what is good. Love each other like the members of your family. Be the best at showing honor to each other. Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. Be on fire in the Spirit as you serve the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Was that a duck out there that I just heard? A goose. That was the goose. Does it lay golden eggs? That's my question. That's the only question. How are y'all today? It's nice to see you. Good morning. Welcome to Asbury. We're thrilled that you're here, especially if you are our guest today. Thank you so much for being here. I do want to give you a heads up. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago about the United Methodist Church splitting into various factions and things. We're going to have some discussion groups coming up here at Asbury. We're going to offer a couple on Sunday right after church, and then we're going to offer one on Wednesday evening. And so watch your email about those. Those will be coming up over the next few weeks. Like I said a few weeks ago, there's no vote required, and there's no voting required, but we do want to talk about it and answer any questions that you may have. Our lay leadership table and Clark Cogbill, our lay leader, will be leading those, and I will be on hand to kind of help because I know stuff some. Some I know more than I should, amen, more than I want to. So anyway, do you want to be sure and keep a watch on your email for those meetings. So next Sunday, we're so excited. Our confirmands have finished almost 9 months of preparing themselves to claim the vows that were made when they were baptized as babies, or to make those vows for the very first time themselves. And so we're so excited about that. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the vows that they will make, because if we're a member, those of us who are members of Asbury United Methodist Church have made those vows ourselves. And so we've been kind of reviewing them. And if you're interested in becoming a part of the Asbury Church family, you're welcome to do that too. And so I hope you have learned a lot about what it means to be a part of our church family. Today we're talking about how we support Asbury United Methodist Church through our service. And Nick pointed out very well last week when he talked about gifts that when we make that vow, it really has to do with our financial gifts. Today we're going to talk a lot about spiritual gifts, because we serve by putting our spiritual gifts to use. And so that's the key takeaway for today. So let's begin with a word of prayer. God, we do thank you for being with us this morning, and wherever we are gathered, whether we're here in person or online, we thank you for filling this place with your presence. We pray now that you will give us your Holy Spirit wherever we are, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. So I have a little question before we begin. How many of y'all have ever seen the 1939 film, The Wizard of Oz? Raise your hand. I see some hands that did not go up. Okay, that's amazing. So we're going to have to help them understand the story before we do this clip. So would you help me by telling the story of The Wizard of Oz if I kind of lead us through it? My memory is terrible. So it's about a little girl, and what's her name? It's Dorothy, and she has a little dog, and the dog's name is Toto, and she gets taken away by a tornado to the merry old land of Oz, and when she gets there, she meets several people, but the first one she meets is a scarecrow. Some of y'all were paying attention to that movie, a scarecrow, and the scarecrow wishes that he only had a brain, and then after the scarecrow, she meets another person, and he is the Tin Woodman, the Tin Man, and if you read the books like I did when I was about 12, his name is Nick Chopper. So anyway, resident expert. All right, so the Tin Woodman wishes that he only had a heart, and then they meet my favorite character, because I got to play him. I got to play him in an eighth grade play, and there's this, I should have brought that picture, and it's, you want to see it? I'm about to. All right, so put them on. So let's see. He's a cowardly what? Lion. A lion, and the cowardly lion wishes that he only had some courage. So we got the basics down. They follow the yellow brick road, and on the way they are off to see the who will hopefully grant them some gifts, right? So Dorothy's gift, she wants to go home, and the scarecrow, we said, wants a brain. The cowardly lion, well, I went backwards. The Tin Woodman wants a heart, and the cowardly lion wants some courage. Now, don't forget that Toto is also one of these folks. So don't exclude Toto. He's very important. So when they finally get to the wizard, They stand before him, and they're hoping that he's going to grant them their wishes. And he says that he will bestow these gifts upon them on one condition, that they bring him the broomstick of who? The Wicked Witch of the West. And they know that in order to get her broomstick, they're going to have to kill her. Okay? And that's scary. So they go on this mission. To do that, they head off for the witch's castle. But before they get there, the Wicked Witch of the West has been watching all along on her crystal ball. And so she sends what I think are the most terrifying things in the whole film after them, the flying monkeys, the flying monkeys. Oh my gosh, I would go to the bathroom when that was shown on Channel 11. Y'all remember that on Thanksgiving? We'd watch it. Anyway, I'd be like, I'm out of here. I'm not watching those flying monkeys. So she sends the flying monkeys to spy on them and to kidnap Dorothy. And they take Dorothy away, leaving the others in the haunted forest. So, That's where we are. Now, we're going to watch a scene, if that's okay. But before we do, I want to ask you to do something for me. Can y'all do one thing for me? I want you to pick your favorite character, whichever one that is, and I want you to watch that character very, very closely. Very, very closely. And you are doing great. This is going to be an awesome sermon, one of the best. All right, so what I want you to do is pay very close attention to what they do. They might have a dream. So here we go.
I've got a plan how to get in there.
Fine. He's got a plan.
And you're going to lead us.
Yeah.
The Scarecrow has an idea there.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
about how they're going to...
I got to get around there.
That's right.
All right. I'll go in there for Dorothy. Wicked witch, oh no, wicked witch. Gods and no gods, I'll tear them apart. Oh, I may not come out alive, but I'm going in there. There's only one thing I want you fellas to do.
What's that?
Talk me out of it.
No, you don't.
Oh, no.
No,
wait a minute.
There.
Trap like mice, rats.
That's right. Don't hurt them right away. We'll let them think about it a little first. Little dog, too. How about a little fire, Scarecrow.
Crow? No! No! Help! Help! I'm burning! I'm burning!
Help! Go through that water! Help!
Help!
Ah! You cursed rat! Look what you've done! I'm melting! Melting! Oh, what a world! What a world! Who would have thought a good little girl like you could destroy my beautiful wickedness? Ah!
Right. So they accomplished the mission. Yay! And there was the broomstick. It was right there. All they got to do is take it to the wizard, right? And they get their wishes. So what did the scarecrow do to accomplish the mission? Did you? Yes. He saw the chandelier and the rope to the chandelier, and he grabbed the Tin Woodman's arm, and he used his axe to chop it, and it created a diversion. Did you notice that he had ideas through the whole scene? He kept thinking of things, and then he would share his ideas with the others, and they would do what he said. What did the tin? Okay, we've said one thing that the Tin Woodman did. What else did he do? There was one other thing he did with his axe. Yes, ma'am, back in the back. He chopped down the door where Dorothy was imprisoned, right? And so without his axe, they couldn't have gotten in the door, right? He also had compassion. I mean, that's a little bit more ethereal, you know, a little surreal, but he also has compassion through the whole thing. What about the lion? Do you think the lion was scared? But did you notice that he's always there? He's always there. And can you imagine how much courage it would take to always be there through that whole thing, right? If I had been there, I might have run away and hidden. What about Dorothy? What did she do to accomplish the mission? She takes a bucket of water. Okay, I noticed, this was something new that I noticed. She actually didn't throw the water at the Wicked Witch. Did you notice that? Who was she throwing it at? The Scarecrow. She was trying to save the Scarecrow with the water, and it's that act of love, it's Dorothy's act of love that ends up destroying the witch. Now, we left out one character. What did Toto do? He showed them the way. He showed them where Dorothy was. He led them to Dorothy. Now, think about that for just a second. If any one of them had been absent or hadn't done their part, the mission would have failed. Amen? It took every one of them to accomplish the mission. Now, Paul, in several places, and we're going to look at several places in Scripture today, says that the church is like that, that each and every one of us has a gift, at least one. And all of our gifts are necessary to accomplish the mission that God gives to the church. And so that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. So all of us have that. All of us have a gift. And without our gifts, the church's mission, as we'll see, can very much fail. So the problem is that sometimes we think, there's a couple problems. One is we think that church would be fine without us. We think that the church has plenty of people who are gifted and talented, and the church would be just fine without us. Surely others are more important than I am, but that's not true. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says that each and every Christian, each one of us, plays a critical part in achieving God's mission. Paul says a hand can't say that it's not part of a body because it's not a foot. And the ear can't say it's not a part of the body because it's not an eyeball. Every piece is a vital organ in the body of Christ. And so each of us has something to contribute. The second lie that we kind of tell ourselves sometimes is that the church would be better off without this person or this group or that group. And you see a lot of that right now in the United Methodist Church as a denomination. But that isn't true either. Paul is very clear. He says the eyeball can't say to the hand, I don't need you, I don't need you. Or the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Because how would the head get around if it didn't have any feet? Amen? Right? It would just be rolling around on the ground. Y'all ever seen a rolling around head just rolling around on the ground getting dirty? A ball? Yeah, it looked like a ball. Yeah, there's historical stuff that we won't go into. But anyway, so other times we think that the church would be better off without someone. And Paul says that that's not true either. Christ's body has some parts that are stronger, just like our bodies do, and some parts that are weaker. And Paul says that the strong ones are supposed to encourage and support those that are weak. And so in the church, we're here to help each other. When somebody's hurting, we go and we help them. We give them love and support. Those of us who are strong in faith and hope and love support those and encourage people when they're having a difficult time. So Paul says it this way. He says, God has put the body together so that all of the different parts may have mutual concern, mutual love for one another. And so we use our gifts to look out for each other in the church. And then listen to what he says in Ephesians 4. He says, God made different kinds of people. This is really important too. In Ephesians 4, Paul says that God made different kinds of people with different kinds of gifts. I want you to kind of look around at each other. I know it's a little dim in here, but you can see each other. Do we all look the same? Do we all dress the same? Are we all boys or girls? No. Do we all have the same hair? Steve Fisher and I do. No, and we have different talents. We have different abilities. We have different things that we're interested in, different things that we are good at. And the interesting thing is that God could have made all of us exactly the same, right? If God wanted to do that, God could have done that. But instead, we have all these different shapes and sizes and different levels of ability, different inclinations. So why didn't God make us all the same? Well, he tells us here in Ephesians, he says, God's purpose was to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ until all of us reach the unity of faith and knowledge of God's Son. Then he says this, God's goal is for us to become mature adults, to be fully grown, measured by the standard of the fullness of Christ. And, you know, when I was a little boy, I was shorter than a yardstick. Y'all know what a yardstick is? It's about that. No? Yeah. A yardstick is a big ruler. It's a pretty big ruler, but it's only about 3 feet high instead of just 1 foot. So my mom, when my brother and I were little, she would take that yardstick, and every year on our birthday, she would mark on a door frame how tall we were. So Paul says that the measure of our Christian maturity, not our physical maturity, but our Christian maturity, is the measure of Jesus Christ. I mean, is anybody there yet? I'm not either. And so that means that all of us, whether we're 3 years old or 300, I don't know if anybody's 300, but 93 years old, like my grandmother, all of us are still growing. All of us are still growing in Christian maturity. And so Paul says that it's like iron sharpening iron. We encourage each other to keep growing. And we support each other in continuing to grow God's kingdom together. So it's kind of like being a part of a team, you know, a sports team. We push each other. We push each other above and beyond what any one of us could do all by ourselves. And so it takes all of us to do that. And we're stronger when we work together. So Paul also reminds us that each of us has different gifts. He says some folks can teach. Some have a gift for caring for people when they're sick or down. Some have the gift of saying the right thing at the right time. What a wonderful gift that is, isn't it? Some of us have a way of seeing beneath the surface to understand what's really going on behind the scenes. And he says, you know, I want you to notice, he's not talking about talent show talents there, right? He's not talking about being able to play the piano like Diana or sing like Caleb. He's talking about these spiritual gifts. And just like Dorothy and her friends, we also have a mission. And Paul's very clear about that too. Our mission is God-given. And as United Methodists, we make disciples of Jesus Christ so that the world is changed through them. so that the world becomes a better place. And that's what everything that we do as a church family is focused on. So every worship service, every activity, Vacation Bible School, every sermon series, every meal we eat together, every study that we have, our youth group, our children's ministries, our ministries with older adults, all of those things have the goal of making disciples of Jesus Christ who go out into the world to make it a better place. That is God's mission for the church. Paul also reminds us that churches can fail when they lose sight of that mission. And how do we do that? Well, we fail when we're only in church for ourselves. We can also fail when we say the church would be better without me. We also fail when we say that the church is better without so-and-so or this or that group. No. Paul says when any one of us hurts, all of us hurt. And when any one of us has a reason to celebrate, we all celebrate. God can do amazing things when we come together. And so Romans is written later than 1 Corinthians, but he harkens back to that image. In Romans 12, he writes, "I encourage you then, brothers and sisters, through God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. And don't be conformed by this age, but be transformed by the renewal of the mind, so you may prove what God's will is, what is good and well-pleasing and perfect." Have you ever thought about your life as a sacrifice or an offering to God? Have you ever thought about your whole life as an offering or a sacrifice to God? And we don't like to think about this, but one day each and every one of us will stand before God. And do you really want to stand before God and say, "Well, God, I took your life, the life that you gave me, and I'm sorry about the mess that I left. I was afraid to go against the crowd, and I wanted to fit in. I wanted all the stuff that everybody else had, and those things were all more important to me than you were." Or instead, do you want to say to God, "Thank you so much for the life that you gave me. I know I didn't use it perfectly, but by your grace, look at what we did together. Look at what we did together. Thank you, God." At the end of your days, will you be able to commend your soul, your life, to God? You know, that's what we do in every funeral, is we commend the life of this person to God. And if you can't answer that with a resounding yes, then we still have some work to do. All right, so Paul says that the church is where we learn together how to live our lives as an offering or a sacrifice to God. This is where we learn how to do that. This is the place where God transforms the faithful, that is us, and the faithful then go out to transform the world. That's what we do during the rest of the week. And so, you know, you don't have to tell me that that's not always true, amen? I mean, churches, you know, I hear it all the time. Churches are just full of hypocrites and people who don't practice what they preach. And I used to say that too, to be honest with you. And now I say, thank God for that. Amen? Thank God. Thank God that the church is full of hypocrites. Because I realize that a church without sinners is an empty church. A church without sinners is an empty church. And a church without transforming sinners, sinners that are being transformed, is a dead church, is a dead church. So Paul recognized that all of us have limitations, and he knew this. And so he says, "I'm telling you all not to think too highly of yourselves." You know, the antidote for hypocrisy is not perfection, it's humility. Do you hear that? The antidote for hypocrisy is not perfection, it's humility. It's knowing that we aren't perfect. And so we don't treat others, we don't judge people who aren't imperfect, or who are imperfect, because they are imperfect just like we are. Amen? That's what being the church is about. So Paul says that it is because each one of us is imperfect that we need each other, that we need each other. And he returns to that same metaphor that he uses in 1 Corinthians about Christ's body. He says, an eye can't walk on its own, a foot can't see where it's going on its own. It takes both eyes and both feet to walk with a purpose and with a sense of direction. And in the same way, we need each other in the church. Like a bundle of sticks, we are stronger when we're together than we are off on our own. And when we work together, behind this common vision, God can change the world through us. I mean, that's a humbling thought, isn't it? That God can change the world through you and through me and through all of us together. I love an old story that brings that home that I'd like to share with you. After the resurrection, the story goes that Jesus was giving a report about what happened while he was on earth. And as he's sharing the report, Moses is standing there and he's listening very intently. And when Jesus finishes his report, it's when it gets over, he says, well, Jesus, did you leave things in capable hands? And Jesus says to Moses, yeah, I did. I left Mary and Martha and Peter and all of the other disciples. They're wonderful and they can handle it. Moses says, well, what happens if they fail? And Jesus says to Moses, well, I left the church and I filled it with the Holy Spirit, my spirit. They'll keep it going. Moses says, but what if the church fails? What's your backup plan? And Jesus says, I don't have one. I don't have one. Friends, we are the only plan that Jesus has for transforming the world. And that's why we have to support our church family through our service, through using our God-given gifts to serve others. So what is God's plan for changing the world? Let's say it together. We are. Let's say that. We are. What is God's plan for changing Little Rock? We are. What is God's plan for changing our schools? We are. What is God's plan for changing the poverty in our community at large? We are. What is God's plan for ending violence? We are. What is God's plan for changing broken homes and broken families? We are. And Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you for calling us to reach above and beyond our own individual limitations, to work together using our gifts to make up for the weaknesses and the limitations of others. And God, we pray that you will open our eyes to see the gifts that you have given to us and give us the courage and strength that we need to go out into the world, to use them to make this world a better place. God, we thank you for all of your blessings, for the gifts of friendship and fellowship, and for opportunities to serve. And we pray that you will give us your Holy Spirit so that we may do that faithfully and fruitfully each and every day of our lives. And the people of God said, amen. If you'd like to become a part of the Asbury Church family, you're welcome to do that. If you want to transfer from another United Methodist Church or from another denomination, we'd love to welcome you at the end of this song. If you've never been baptized before and you would like to know more about that and find out how to do that, you're welcome to talk to me or Nick, and we would be glad to share that with you and schedule a time when we could baptize you into God's family. Would you please stand now, and Caleb's going to introduce our song.
One, two, four. You are not alone if you are lonely. When you feel afraid, you're not the only. We are all the same.
Next Sunday is Confirmation Sunday. We want to encourage you to come back for that. Brother Nick is going to be preaching, and he's going to be closing out our series, sharing about the importance of supporting our church family through our witness. And so we want you to come back for that. And would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And all the people said, Amen.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for it's all of us.